HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Live Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi guys, I'm Prasad Banerjee and I write about tech at Mint.
And this is Etcetera, a podcast
where we tackle some hot topics in technology
and also
bust some myths.
In this episode of Etcetera, we are talking about cloud and cloud economics. What has happened over the last year is we have all gone indoors, we have started working remotely, and a lot of businesses have started working remotely. And when we say working remotely, we're not just talking about us working remotely and working from home. Businesses are doing critical functions through the cloud. And what we knew so far as just something you open on your phone as an app is actually much more important to a business. And as a result, things like cloud economics are much, much more important today. And digital businesses have just grown manifold over 2020. And we have just way too much happening over the cloud. And while I usually say that, I'm really not the best person to talk about these things and to explain because I am not on the field. I don't know exactly how all of this is happening. But I do have somebody with me today who does understand all of this. We have Nikhil Kelkar, he's with the Insights team at Oracle. And he does this day in and day out. He introduces his customers, he tells his customers how to maximize value, how to get the best out of cloud, and how to improve their ROIs. So there's nobody better than Nikhil to explain all of this. Welcome Nikhil to Techcetera.
Hey, hi Prasid. Thanks for inviting me.
Happy to have you. So Nikhil, even before we go through all of that, let's just talk about what the reasons are. What are the reasons for customers to really adopt cloud really fast now?
Absolutely, Prasad. And I think just on that question, I could say now where we are, this question is not in terms of why we should move cloud, but rather how we should move cloud in terms of what are the applications we need to move, as well as what is the approach to be followed. And the fundamental reason I say that is because of three C's in terms of the overall theme for our discussion. And these three C's are cost, customer, and change. When we look at cost in terms of how the overall IT landscape is managed today, traditionally it has been a very rigid approach in terms of managing the IT cost, and that is creating pressure on many of the organizations post-pandemic. They want an agile approach, they want a predictable approach in terms of managing IT cost. And the cost aspect also translates in terms of what is the business disruption, what is the cost of data security, and what are the implications of that. And if you look at that, I would just like to bring a couple of events to your notice. The recent one was the disruption that was with NSE in terms of some of the telecom links being down. If you just go back a few months, we had one of the largest bank having the net banking as well as I think their debit card operations down. That was for 12 to 14 hours. And just before that, we also had floods in Hyderabad. All of these events, natural events, can create business disruption. And the cost of this disruption could be high. Again, that translates into how you're managing your overall cost within your IT. Now, if we take a shift to another next C, which is about the customer. So yes, there is an increase in the remote working. But along with that, there is a pressure in terms of managing scalability on demand, as well as increased digitization of your operations. And again, cloud can serve that requirement very well. And lastly, I think which is the most important is the change. And I see change in terms of innovation. The reason I say innovation is quite important is because most of the organizations are looking to enable new digital business models. And again, with regards to these digital revenue models, you need lower time to market for any of the new features you have. And that's where, again, cloud can become your backbone. So in summary, very much as we are in the era of pandemic, I could say that Oracle Cloud is not just a cure to improve the efficiency as well as resilience of your IT operations, but it's also a vaccine to future-proof your IT platform in terms of both agility and driving innovation.
Got it. And I you know, while we're on this subject and before we move to the future, let's just quickly take the history, right? Cloud as a concept is, it's not new. Cloud has existed for a while. So we all have some understanding of how the cloud works. We all have some understanding of what we can do with the cloud and what we can't. So how has that helped us? Because I'm sure some readiness was there. And then we went to an accelerated version. And what are we learning today because of that?
Sure, absolutely. So technology has certainly evolved right from the old on-premise traditional world. We have seen hybrid as well as private cloud to an extent where now we are in the era of what we call as a distributed cloud. And the reason, again, to look at this specific evolution is because cloud has become more flexible in terms of addressing requirements such as data residency or latency or data security. And there are multiple flexible models available today in terms of supporting the customer requirements. Specifically, if you look at the today's latest deployment models offered by Oracle, pretty much Oracle, and this very much quoted by our founder Larry Ellison, that it's probably one of the only provider which offers same set of cloud services on the public platform as well as on the on-premise platform. And if you look at, say, today's distributed cloud world, it's very much bringing the cloud to your doorstep and making sure that all the services are available in your vicinity. Just to give you a couple of examples in terms of how cloud has helped many organizations, Zoom, as you know, is one of the largest collaboration player. We have helped Zoom to scale right from 20 million customers to 300 million customers. And that's the scalability on demand that we are talking about. And at the same time, we are allowing Zoom to handle large data volumes, pretty much to 7+ petabytes, right? Similarly, if you look at AU Small Finance Bank, which is also one of our recent customers, again, we are helping AU Small Finance Bank to scale their microservices, help with the increased volumes in terms of mobile as well as tab-based banking to support rural banking, right? So these are some of the additional, you know, references to add on that. And again, specific advantage here that we can enable through the Oracle's cloud is that we have, I think, the highest number of cloud services, 65+ cloud services, which are offered both on your on-premise as well as on your cloud, depending on which deployment model you can choose. Gartner recently released a study where they have mentioned that pretty much 80% of the traditional data centers expected to shut by 2025, because again, they are not able to cope up with the overall scale of innovation that cloud has to offer. At the same time, we are seeing a trend in terms of pretty much 60% of the workload expected to be moved to public cloud again by 2025. And this was IDC research. So again, with the overall evolution of cloud, you are able to see the shift in terms of migrating to cloud. I can just give a quick analogy in terms of Tesla, right? So Tesla, very much till you had a number of wider number of the charging stations being created, till the battery prices became lower, you didn't see the adoption of electric cars, right? But then as these issues were resolved, now you can see a sudden spike in terms of adoption of electric cars. So similar, I think, evolution we are witnessing with the cloud, with two data centers available in India for Oracle Cloud, specifically in Hyderabad as well as Mumbai. We are very much ready to serve the customers.
While we are making this move towards the cloud and we're moving really fast, I mentioned at the beginning of this episode that we're going to talk about cloud economics. So what is cloud economics in general? What are the basic principles of cloud economics? And what is cloud economics in today's concept, in the context of today?
Absolutely. The reason why we are looking at economics is because traditionally IT has always been about having the most efficient cost, enable through our IT platform. I think the rest of the considerations probably have taken lesser of priority in the past, but now I think we are seeing a fundamental shift. Now, I think cloud economics overall as a concept is being followed by most of the hyperscalers. And this includes primarily right-sizing your usage optimization and the rate optimization. But then, as I said earlier, as we are very much looking at this overall shift in terms of even now looking at handling your mission critical workloads, just to give you a bit of a overview, today still pretty much 60-80% mission critical workloads are still, you know, on the on-premise. And while organizations have been experimenting cloud in terms of either using cloud for collaboration or back office productivity or as an extension of data centers, so very much in ad hoc manner, they haven't really started looking at driving efficiencies through the mission critical workloads. But then as we look at mission critical workloads, it's very much important to look at not just what is visible to your eyes, but more in terms of the harder to touch, harder to move aspects. And that's where it comes in terms of what is the overall value that we can enable through the overall cloud migration, which is much beyond your traditional cost economics, right? And hence what we have created is something we call as enterprise cloud economics. And then that probably just goes beyond the overall three drivers which I've mentioned. So probably this is, if I just break this into three dimensions, this includes technology, operations, and commercial. And again, the objective here is to be very much efficient in terms of ID financial management to pretty much get down to a unit economics, which is what we call. Just to give you a bit more view in terms of how the Oracle Cloud is functioning, where we can get pricing down to an R, pretty much down to the individual resource. So that's the granularity where we are able to offer our cloud economics, right? But then just to go back to these three dimensions, if I start first with the technology dimension, this is in terms of how we can be efficient in terms of designing to the value and designing to the cost in terms of our resources. And this includes very much selecting a resource of right shape and size. For example, you don't want a sledgehammer to crack the nut, right? So you want to be efficient in terms of whether you want high computing resource versus a regular resource or a VM-based resource in terms of managing your resources. At the same time, you want to size it optimally. And that's one of the largest benefit we see in terms of consolidating the resources. Next, you want to scale your resources elastically rather than being, getting blocked in terms of securing, you know, oversized capacity. And also in terms of you eliminating the waste that you may have as an additional buffer within your overall ID capacity. So that's the overall value from the technology perspective. Then if you look at the operational dimension, this includes having the optimal division between the human-led versus machine-led approach, right? And this you can consider as an overall DevOps lifecycle, how we can make it very much more efficient. You can start in terms of how we can prioritize workload migration efficiently. And again, I'll talk more on that because we also have kind of automated approach in terms of migrating some of the mission critical workloads. So it's in terms of looking at which of the workloads can give you maximum benefit, which are the workloads which are occupying your maximum high cost resources, right? And then looking at the operations aspect wherein how can we leverage machine power over human power, more in terms of efficient maintenance, monitoring, or the service delivery, right? And then also within the same cycle, you have the aspect about the efficient security management, managing cost of quality, and overall having a visibility on managing the overall economics of the overall IT financial management, right? So that's the operational aspect. And lastly, the commercial aspect, again, which is actually a differentiator for us. This includes how we can offer financially backed SLAs, how we can de-link some of the usage with the cost, and that is applicable specifically within the network cost. How can we be more predictable? And also how we can, you know, avoid any deployment lock-in. So essentially giving maximum flexibility to the customer. So these are the enhanced dimensions that we cover in the cloud economics. And based on our models, proprietary models, we come up with the analysis for the customer, which is not just looking at the cost, but they are overall looking at the value versus risk that customer can realize.
You spoke a lot about how, you know, you have created models to sort of optimize the value and so on. So how is the Oracle Cloud, you know, positioned with respect to all the other options that I may have in the industry?
Sure. just before we do that, I think let me just take you back to the mission, right? In terms of what is Oracle's mission? It is to help people to see data in new ways, discover insights, and unlock endless possibilities, right? And we are probably, again, one of the first hyperscalers who are working on the ultimate goal of delivering first completely and truly autonomous clouds. And we have already started that journey using our autonomous database as well as our autonomous Linux operating system. And the idea with autonomous is nothing to learn, nothing to do. As we say, it needs to be self-driving, self-securing, and self-repairing, and thereby reducing any kind of risk that you may have from human-led operations, as well as improving your productivity as well, right? So in terms of the differentiators, if you see with the Oracle Cloud, I would probably name six. First and foremost is the design differentiation. And that's where probably if you look at the overall performance, we are very much offering up to in the region of 2x, twice the performance of the other hyperscalers. In terms of the overall cost savings that we are able to realize, very much against the traditional on-premise as well as cloud, other clouds, this is up to 60% of savings that we are able to realize. So that's the overall design differentiation. Plus we have something called as off-box network virtualization as well as a cluster networking. Again, this is the next generation of cloud with more superior performance and economics that we are talking about. But at the same time, we are probably the only one who are able to offer exactly same set of services on on-premise versus public cloud. We can enable automated migration of on-premise workload, and that may include Oracle, non-Oracle workloads, VMware, and so on. Plus, we are able to offer automated security with our multi-layer security architecture, pretty much enabling automated IT security management. We are probably the only one to offer very much financially backed service SLAs across performance, availability, and manageability. And lastly, the overall pricing is very much transparent and without any hidden cost. So these are the differentiators where we excel, right, against the other providers. In terms of our footprint, we are very much on the verge to have largest footprint with 36 global cloud regions across the globe. And that's more than anybody else. So that's the scale at which we are growing, right?
So Nikhil, you talked a lot about how this helps in cost optimization and even driving innovation. Could you give us a few customer use cases which will just make it much easier to understand how it has already helped business?
Absolutely. As we were discussing, I think the overall cloud adoption is bringing a game-changing shift in our customers, right? In terms of how they are managing their operating model. So let's look at the values and then maybe the relevant case studies. I think that might be a easier way to understand how the value translates, right, to the customers. The first probably point I want to highlight is the overall service operation efficiency. Probably not to exaggerate, but if you think in terms of the Matrix as the movie where machines are taking over, in this case, probably they are taking over in a good way, right? And that, again, they are taking over to automate most of our rudimentary operations in terms of maintaining and monitoring the ID landscape. But at the same time, they are giving us insights both to innovate our operations as well as be more predictive and productive in terms of managing our cost. One of the case studies I can give here is Manappuram Finance, which moved their entire data center, you know, as well as DR to Oracle, and again gained significant efficiencies. Then the Australia Finance Group, again, they saved a significant amount in terms of both operational cost as well as at the same time gain the performance. Cognizant, again, which is one of our Oracle Cloud customers, saved pretty much millions by actually migrating from on-premise to cloud. So again, few names. If we move from the operations to next dimension, which is service maintenance. And here you are talking about very much from needing to have maximum computing requirements acquired upfront to moving to more agile and optimum computing requirements activated just in time. And this is basically pay-per-use or having scalability on demand. 8x8 is another large global collaboration player. They moved from AWS to us and save very much on the likes of up to 80% of the network outbound data transfer cost by moving to us, right? And again, that's the overall power in terms of how cost efficiency can be enabled. Veritas is again one of the large global consumers. They save millions by moving core applications to Oracle Cloud, right? As well as one of the other probably names I can give within the retail space is OceanX, again, an e-commerce player. They not just saved around 30% cost versus a competitor AWS, but also gain up to 300% performance improvements. So this is basically while you are saving cost, at the same time, you are realizing the innovation and higher efficiency. The next aspect is about efficient service delivery. And here we can bring the innovation aspect where rather than just looking at ensuring the stability, you're also looking at enabling innovation. And that's with the power of our 65 plus cloud services, pretty much across infrastructure, applications, as well as platform. Pretty much over 40,000 customers are using Oracle Gen 2 Cloud. Siemens, for example, uses it for their IoT business. Toyota uses it for testing their autonomous car workloads, right? Lastly, the CERN Open Lab, which was enabling the Hadron Collider, you know, to invent the God particle. They are using our cloud very much to allow their developers to run all sorts of applications. So that's the overall innovation also that you can drive. Then looking at the next aspect, which is the security and risk management. And here I was mentioning that rather than looking at bolt-on securities, we very much have foundational security built within our pretty much infrastructure. And that's again multi-layer. And an example I can give in terms of credibility is McAfee, right, is using our cloud to host their infrastructure, very much able to process 500 events per second, right? So that's the overall computing power. Last point in terms of value is the IT financial management. And here we can enable real-time IT financial management. And I would like to talk about a specific feature that we have within cloud, and it's very exciting. It's called as a cloud advisor. And what cloud advisor is able to do, which is built within our infrastructure, is able to do auto resource management or auto resource sizing. If you have any resources which are unused, or if you have resources occupied more than what is required, it can automatically downsize those resources, free up both storage and compute capacity autonomously. Right. And then you get immediate benefits in terms of cost savings. Right. So that's the real time IT financial management that we can enable. And our customers have been able to realize very much up to $20,000 per month in terms of savings. Right. And this is based on the real data we have. So that's the overall value that we can enable.
You know, there's a very popular saying in this cloud and automation space that when the public sector starts adopting, you know that things are really changing fast. But I'm guessing that this fast adoption and everything would have had an impact on you as the provider. You're now handling petabytes of data, zettabytes of data, you know, every day.
So I think you raise a very good point in terms of the adoption by public sector, right? So if I just give a couple of references, so Oman government, they recently moved their complete infrastructure, including the data centers, to Oracle, right? And that's in terms of supporting their long-term growth roadmap. And that's using our offering called as Dedicated Region, which is kind of a distributed cloud offering that I was explaining earlier. Plus, we have large financial giants like Nomura in Japan, again, shifting their entire landscape to Oracle, right? And I think the beauty with our solution is it's very much scalable. As I mentioned earlier, it's very much in terms of the footprint, it's the highest. We have 36 odd cloud regions. Plus, I think the added advantage we have are the strategic partnerships. For example, we have strategic partnership with VMware. Plus, we have something called as a multi-cloud environment support with the Azure interconnect as well. So again, in terms of the scalability, we are very much geared up to support, you know, the enhanced workloads that we may have to offer. If I just give you one quick example of the use case, how we handled it with regards to our overall inside engagement. So this was with one of the Australia, right? And here specifically, being bank, as you know, it's very complex in terms of the data management. It becomes a high performance data management as well. So the workloads, again, they become mission critical in terms of how you want to handle it. And again, here, customer was also using a lot of third-party application. And one of the fundamental issue that customer had was the overall infrastructure was aging, right? So traditional issue with every on-premise landscape is that every 5 years you have to refresh it. And that's added cost. You just end up paying just to have a refreshed version, refreshed infrastructure, and have the optimal performance. Again, you end up eliminating all that challenge with the cloud. But again, that was the opportunity for the bank to migrate to the cloud. And using cloud economics principles, we not only consolidated the overall computing requirements to pretty much to 50%, but at the same time, in terms of the core operational usage requirements, in terms of the time aspect as well, we were able to again achieve up to 60% utilization improvement. So it was a two-pronged benefit that customer gained, right? And very much this is a similar benefit which we are observing again with regards to the engagements we are doing in India as well. Because traditionally, if you look at the traditional landscape, you have your production environment plus your disaster recovery as well as non-production environments. And with each of these systems, there is always an overcapacity built in, which we can totally eliminate. So in terms of our operations, very much they are geared up, scaled up to the level we can support the required scalability while offering the enterprise grade SLAs. And this is again a very unique aspect about Oracle Cloud Solution, where we are able to offer more than 99.95% availability as well as performance SLAs, and that can be increased further by having your complete environment replicated to not just maybe within the same country to different locations, but also to different countries, right? We were talking about some of the natural calamity issues, and we can very much increase or offer the SLAs to even address those challenges as well, right? And these SLAs very much are guaranteed and protected by our overall financial guarantee, right, which we offer.
Thanks a lot, Nikhil. This has been really, really informative. And obviously, cloud economics is going to be a big thing going forward. And we all have to look at it. Businesses will have to look at it to drive revenue, to improve, return on investments. And yeah, cloud economics is definitely a big deal from 2021 onwards. And as we can see, Oracle's enterprise cloud economics, the principles involved in them will be useful to businesses. Thanks a lot, Nikhil.
I think just one probably last point I would want to add. Thanks a lot, Prasid, for inviting me. But as a next step, very much we would like to invite our customers to try our free offering, right? They can always try the Oracle Cloud Solution to test their test or disaster recovery workloads, i.e. non-production workloads. It's kind of a no harm, no commitment engagement that we can offer very much to the customers. And we are very excited to welcome all our customers and try our cloud. Thanks a lot, Prasid.
To know more about this, log on to brandstories.livemint.com and go to the Bring Your Data, Build Your Future page. That's it for this episode. Thanks a lot for joining us. This episode is sponsored by Oracle. So that's it for today. I shall be back this very week with another segment where I take on some misconceptions about technology. Until then, tell me what you want me to cover. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Undertecker. Yes, you heard that right. It's UNDERTECHER. Or you can write to me at podcasts@hindustantimes.com. Talk to you next time.
This was a LiveMint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.